What a great day. Am I on? There we go. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Are you ready for church?
Yes.
Had a great first service. Aren't you glad? I think it's like 3 degrees, isn't it? Glory to God. We had a heat warming up. I mean, we were at 1 this morning. We're on our way to a full 7 degrees today. Glory to God. It's going to be a great day. How many of you came ready to worship the Lord? You know, your life's been busy. It's been a wild week. Christmas, family. Some of you have less hair this week because of your family. But boy, what an awesome time to shut everything off, just you and Jesus. Amen? So I don't know what you got to do, whether it's stay in your seat, whether it's come up front, but get away from folks. You and Jesus, just get alone and enjoy your time with Him and worship. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Man, you're going to love the Word today. It's going to challenge you. But God has great things for you right now in this church service. You know what I love about God is that God loves to bring our life into order. What's order? Order is the kingdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in
heaven.
Whatever is out of alignment this morning in your earth, other than heaven, God wants to bring order to that in the service. If it's sickness, God wants to bring order to your body. If it's your relationship with God, He wants to bring order in your relationship. If it's deliverance, He wants to bring freedom because there's only freedom in heaven. Whatever it is, obtain heaven this morning in your time with the Lord. And don't be satisfied with anything but. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Don't sit around and talk with everybody, you know, just relax while it's just another church service. No. This is your service. God wants to meet with you right now. It's your time to bring order back into your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Honey, you want to pray?
Absolutely. Father, we just love you and we thank you for this opportunity to be in your corporate presence.
Yes.
We thank you for your outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We know that in your presence, order comes. So we just give our all to you this morning in your precious name. Amen.
Let's worship together.
All right, who's excited to worship Jesus this morning? I'm so excited. Can I see you clap your hands? Okay, just gotta repeat after me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory belongs. Forever He is
Hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. Come on, sing it out. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. Your people cry out, Jesus.
We sing hallelujah.
Your people praise you, Jesus.
We sing hallelujah.
Because the Lamb
has overcome.
And we sing.
We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah, because you have overcome.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus, in this place. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the
flow. fill our hearts with your love, your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love, your love surrounds us.
Sing, Spirit.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven.
Sing, Spirit.
Spirit of God, come fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence.
We need your love.
Your kingdom come. Your will be done in heaven.
Sing, Spirit.
Spirit of God.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Come on, he's moving. He's moving. This morning, if you have intestinal problems, please put your hand on your intestines. God's going to heal you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release healing right now, God, into the large intestine, the small intestine. Lord, I command right now the body functions to heed the word of the Lord. I command you to be healed and restored to perfection. Even that portions that have been cut out, I command them to be replaced by the power of God. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you heal us. Lord, that there'll be no more digestive problems in this room. God, I command the pain to go right now as an evidence. God, I thank you that you set us free. Lord, those that are dealing with the difficulties, Lord, I pray that this afternoon will be a very liberating time. And that, Lord, they'll come back with very small testimony in Jesus' name. And God, we give you honor and glory in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We just don't want to hear, but you can give God glory. Amen. Amen. You know, God loves to heal you. The Bible talks about the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What the word of knowledge is that God gives you a bit of knowledge about a situation that you personally cannot know about or don't know about. And with that, God doesn't just give knowledge, but God always gives the ability to bring health or to bring healing to that area. And that's called the working of miracles or the gifts of healing. So what happened there just a moment ago was I had a word of knowledge. I could actually feel pain in my intestines. And the Holy Spirit said, that's not me. I didn't come in with it. He said, so I want you to have them lay hands on themselves. And then when you speak the word, I want to remind you in Matthew chapter 8, the centurion came to Jesus and said, listen, my servant is going to die. Can you help me? And Jesus said, I'll come. In fact, Jesus was willing to go to his house. But the centurion said, the ruler said this. He said, you don't need to come to my house. He said, because I'm a man of authority. If I say to one, go, he goes. If I say to another, come, and he comes. So Jesus, you only have to speak the word. You see, the moment the word is spoken, then authority is released. Once authority is released under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then those things which are out of order have to come into the order of God. What's the order of God? Well, the order of God is simple. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. There are no intestinal problems in heaven. So when you release that anointing, your physical body has to respond to heaven. How many believe in the anointing? Amen. That's the power of God. And this is what the Lord loves to do to his children. He loves to bring us into order. Our minds into order. Our bodies into order. Our emotions into order. He loves to bring situations that we're dealing with into order. Why? Because God wants us blessed and not cursed. And even in the midst of our trial and tribulation, there was one thing you can know for sure. If God is for me, who can be against me? He can even take the worst junk and make it good. I make all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. You see, God loves to touch and to change. And this is the power of God. And this is why Jesus came. He didn't just come and die on a cross. He came on the earth and he walked for 3 to 3.5 years doing what? Doing good. The Bible says he did good. The Bible, it's in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus went about doing good. Everybody shout good. Healing all those oppressed of the devil. So this morning, if you have any oppression of the devil, then you can know this, that the Lord wants to bring order to your life. There's a person with carpal tunnel. It's at the base of your right thumb right now. If you start moving that around, you'll feel freedom come. God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. You see, order has to come. Order has to come. That's why you're so brilliant in being in the house of God. It's because that corporate anointing is released. And when it's released, order comes in our life. I just love the presence of the Lord because it's more than religion. Amen. This is where Christ actively is involved in every facet of our life. And so if you can grab a hold of this, it doesn't have to be your stomach. Today can be your back. Today can have a headache. Today your foot could hurt. No matter what your situation, you can call that to come into the order of God. And the anointing is in this place right now to do that. So whatever it is, if you have sickness, I want you to put your hand on where your sickness is. Come on, put your hand where your sickness is. And I want you to speak this right out loud with me. In the name of Jesus, I command this body to come into the order of heaven. Sickness, disease, maiming, or wounding, you have no right in my body. For by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Sickness, go. In Jesus' name, I am healed. Now give God praise right now. You need to learn how you learn. How you learn how to pray. How you learn how to pray. And in the corporate anointing, there's nothing God can't do. Literally, there's nothing God can't do. I mean, I've given testimony after testimony. We had a girl who used to sit in the back on that side. She had a brain tumor. She was down in Pittsburgh all the time. And God healed her. You've heard the testimony of my wife with cancer. Completely healed. You heard Jade's testimony from just not too long ago. God healed her. Some of you in this room, you carry the same testimony. If God loves one, he loves every one of us. He doesn't love any one of us, any one of us different. And what that means is this. If he'll do it for one, he'll do it for all. We were listening to the radio. We turned it off. Some of you need to start turning off your radio. Someone was on the radio. I believe it was Sirius Radio. And the guy was saying, well, you know, I was believing for healing, but it hasn't happened yet, so I guess this is just what I have to deal with. Click, turned it off. Why is that? Because he believed the lie rather than the truth. For by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed 2,000 years ago on the cross. Healing is part of the covenant right of every child of God in this place. It's the covenant right. And I tell you, you can't allow the covenant to leave you. You got to grab every bit. How many of you believe it's always God's will to forgive you? How many of you are glad Jesus forgave you? If you believe God's will always to forgive, you have to always believe it's God's will to heal. It's the word of the Lord. And you need to lay hold of that in Jesus' name. Now, why doesn't everybody get it? Well, there's many different reasons. But sometimes people just simply have never been taught. I'm making sure that you don't ever have that. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, that if sickness comes on your life, now I'm not saying it won't come, but when it comes, what do? You don't whine, you don't complain, you take an aggressive posture in the spirit. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I stand firm in the truth of the word of God. I hold God's word just like he does. He said, I hold my word above my name and I shall not be moved. I'm not going to change my confession. I remember that woman, I'm just talking because it feels good. I love talking about the word. Remember the woman who came? Jairus, actually. Jairus came and said, my little baby girl is going to die. And Jesus said, Jesus, if you come, lay hands on her. I know she'll be healed. Jesus said, I'll go. And he was on his way. And that woman with the issue of blood got in the way. Distracted Jesus. Can you imagine if your baby girl's about to die and somebody interrupts him from coming to your house? You're not going to be all right. Well, God healed her. Christ healed her. She touched the hem of his garment, and the power came out of Jesus and set her free. And then somebody showed up and said, hey, listen, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your baby girl's died. And this is what Jesus said. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe what? Only believe what you first declared. You said, if I come lay hands on your little girl, she'll be made well. Don't change your confession. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you're told. Be moved by the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. Don't change your confession. Stand firm in the word. And you'll see the deliverance. Because God loves to heal his babies. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves healing you. Come on, tell somebody else, Jesus loves healing you. Why don't you go find five people you don't know and say, hey, Jesus loves healing you. Come on, go find somebody this morning and tell them Jesus loves and longs to heal them this morning. Come on now, don't be a snob. Don't be a snob. Go meet somebody you know and say, Jesus loves healing you. Come on, make sure you say, oh, man of God, you better give me a hug. Tonight, yes, New Year's Eve, we want to make sure you're out here at 7 p.m. Pastor's going to reveal next year's theme. We're going to be laying hands on everybody, and we're going to cross over to the new year. I'm excited. Make sure your neighbor's excited. Don't sit home. There's something for you to do, and it's at the house of God. And then to even continue, a great start to our year. Monday the 8th, we're going to be starting our week of fasting and prayer. Monday to Thursday, noon and 7 p.m., we'll be having prayer right here in the building. I want to encourage you to be here, to fast, because this year is going to be the most explosive year His Tabernacle has ever seen. We'll see you there for both events.
I've been here almost 20 years, almost as long as, you know, our pastors. And it's such a blessing because we build such fantastic relationships. And I couldn't imagine missing any time with you because that's the love and the joy of having a family in Christ. So we want to welcome you. We would also like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest, we'd ask you to raise your hand. We want to bless you. We just want to give you a gift and to share some information with you about Mary Kay, if you or about church. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. Wrong hat. Oh my gosh. That was terrible. Okay, I do public speaking in a lot of different areas. I apologize. Jesus, help us all. Okay, now we need altar call. All right, so if you are a guest in this house, we just really want to love on you. And we do have a gift for you. So if you would just raise your hand, are there any guests in this house? Any guests? There we go, right in the back. We have some guests back there. We would like to invite you to our guest reception room, which is over here on this side of the building. We have coffee and refreshments. Our pastors would love an opportunity to be able to meet you and to build relationship with you. We would also like to welcome our live stream family. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You know, corporate anointing is powerful and important and necessary in the body of Christ. And if we want to see revival happen, and then we need to be willing to come together corporately. So we just want to welcome you. We do have some announcements this morning. This evening at 7 p.m., we are having our New Year's Eve service, and Pastor will be giving us the new motto for the year. And I know that it is absolutely God-breathed. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to miss out on positioning myself for everything that God has for me. So I'm going to be here tonight because I want to start my new year properly. I want to start it right with my eyes focused on Jesus Christ. And then we also have our week of prayer and fasting, Monday, January 8th through Thursday, January 11th. And we have a morning prayer at 6:15 a.m. We have afternoon prayer service, 12 p.m. here in the main sanctuary, and an evening service at 7 p.m. main sanctuary. Again, this is an opportunity for you to get yourself aligned properly with God's plan for your life this year. If you want power and prosperity and success in your year, then you need to position yourself that way. I'm going to be ready with an open basket for an open heaven to pour itself out on me, because I'm not going to miss out on any opportunity that I have to be in the presence of God. And I hope that will be your heart this year as well. So we're going to turn it over to Pastor Rhonda, who's going to bring our tithes and offerings.
Don't feel bad. When I first started working here full-time, I'd answer the phone, Liberty Travel. It happens. So how many of you in this year coming up, 2018, want to see increase in your life? Amen? Really? Not everybody? How many of you want to see increase in your life? All right, that's what I thought. Because God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. And we spent this last quarter of the year teaching on open heaven. When we enter into tithes and offerings with the Lord, that covenant, we walk under an open heaven. Now, something happens, though. We can all sit in the same sanctuary and hear the same teachings, and it seems as if some are profiting and some are prospering and others aren't. I need to tell you from the Word of God some exciting scriptures for that. First, Acts 10:34 says, God is no respecter of persons. What he has done for one, he will do for you. And we see, we've had testimony after testimony of finances this year, and we see in the Word of God where he does supernatural things in finances when his people come to him and his word and obey his word. So what happened in the Bible, we've reviewed a couple stories about widows. So today you may have come in here and you have absolutely nothing. You are in the worst financial situation that you've ever been in. That's like the story of these widows. They were in the worst financial situation ever. The one was going to eat her last meal with her son and die. And the other widow, they were coming to take her sons away as payment for the debt that she owed. That was pretty bad financial situations that they were in. But they came to the prophet of God and they got the word of the Lord. They heard the word of the Lord and they obeyed. And what happened? The one woman, her vats that she kept bringing never ran dry. They filled until she didn't bring any more. And she was able to pay off all of her debt with the proceeds. That was instant, supernatural debt cancellation. God is no respecter of persons. So whatever you came in as today, when you take God at his word, he is no respecter of persons. His desire is that every single one prospers according to 3 John 1:2. But why doesn't it happen? Let me read this scripture to you. I love it so much. I found it this morning as I was studying. And it's Hebrews 4:2. And it says, for indeed, we have had the good news preached to us. Everybody has had the good news preached to us, just as they also have. But the word they heard did not profit them. Why is that? Sitting in the same sanctuary, hearing the same thing, but they did not profit from the word that they heard. Here's the answer. Because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. So we need to not only hear the word, but we need to put it into faith action. We need to do the word of God. And when you couple the word of God with faith, there is nothing impossible. And Ephesians 3:20 says that now God is able. Can you say that part with me? God is able. God is able to do abundantly above all that they could ask or think or even imagine. Did you hear that? God is going to do, he is able to do in you, every single one. See, the lie that the enemy likes to say is that, well, there's some people that will profit and prosper, but you know, my lot is just poverty. This is just where I'm at. No, God is no respecter of persons. And it says that he is able to do abundantly above all you can ask, think, or imagine. So what was the difference? Is actually believing. So some in this room today, you're hearing the word of, all of you are hearing the word of God. The difference is, will you believe the word of the Lord that he is able to do abundantly above what you can ask, think or even imagine. So Pastor teaches us on a faith wall, and he's going to go on Facebook this week and do the faith wall teaching for you. But I want to encourage every single one of you, a faith wall is just posting up what you are believing God for that is completely unattainable in your own ability. And watching God supernaturally, because his word says, write that down, Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or even imagine. So when you make your faith wall, think big. He's able to do beyond what you can even imagine. So some of you in this room are going to get this in your spirit, and you're going to do a faith wall, and he's going to do abundantly above all you can ask, think, or imagine. Yeah, that gets me pretty excited. When you get to walk in the supernatural favor and blessing and increase of the Lord, because it is his desire for all of his children, every single one. No one is left behind. Everyone is on equal playing field. Look at those widows came with nothing. You may be in the worst situation right now, and they walked away with blessing and prosperity supernaturally. So this year, I encourage every single one of you to do a faith wall, because if you don't ask, nothing's gonna happen. But if you're willing to ask and believe in faith and put it up on a wall, on a board, make it on your phone if you're techie and do graphics or whatever, however you want to do it, but put it in front of you, put it in writing, set your faith in order to believe God's word is true. And God's word is not just true for everybody else. God's word is true for even you. He is no respecter of persons. And that begins with our tithes and offerings that causes us to get to walk under that open heaven. And then when we ask, believing, he will do abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or even imagine. So where do you want to see your business? Where do you want to see your life? Where do you want to see your job? Maybe you want to start a business. Maybe you're believing for a house or a car, whatever it is. Put it on your faith wall. He is able to do abundantly, abundantly above your wildest imaginations. Everybody hears, but who will couple that with their faith? If you're ready this morning, stand, and we're going to make our supernatural declaration. Oh. We're going to make our supernatural declaration in faith, believing that he's going to do abundantly above all that we are declaring this morning, abundantly above. So let's repeat Deuteronomy 28, and it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Oh, now say it like you really know it. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Hallelujah. I want to clap a little louder than before. I want to sing a little louder than before. I want to jump higher than before. I want to shout. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We have a video for you. Are the generous church. It is awesome to participate with you as your pastor. We are just so blessed to be part of you because you are people of great vision beyond your own desire, beyond your own survival. You are people that really love people. We not only saw 500 souls saved here, but there were another 516 people that gave their hearts to the Lord in Mexico. So this year, over 1,000 people have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior at His Tabernacle Family Church. I don't know about you, that's something to shout about. You know, you are amazingly generous people. You know, this last year we spent $26,000 busing in the children between Tuesdays and Wednesdays. $42,600 was towards His kids. $36,500 to missions. Almost $11,000 to benevolence and aid of people within the body and people that need help. $31,000 in evangelism. $5,500 for empowering pastors. $69,000 in outreach, letting our community know that God is good and not bad. I love Uproar because they raised their own money. They did $60,000 this year. They raised that right here in the body of Christ and outside businesses. Awesome. We also did $21,000 for our teenagers. It is an amazing thing. $13,500 we gave in seed to different places. This year, and after today's offering, I'm believing that we will hit $1,300,000 as last year in our income. And I want you to hear this clearly. We gave $317,000 to missions, home and foreign. That is humongous. You are a generous people. Can you turn to someone and say, we are the generous church? Now, that doesn't include the TV station that we minister with. Right now, every single Sunday, 5,500 to 6,000 people are tuning in. Televisions are tuning in and watching His Tabernacle Family Church every single Sunday morning. It is awesome to realize the outreach you have. We're not just here. We're literally all over the world via live stream. It was just a few weeks ago. We had, we were in Dubai was on, and we had other European countries on, and Central America, and we have Mexico and people from all over the United States. They're part of our family. Thank you for being part of our family at His Tabernacle Family Church. Can you give them a hand clap for being part of our family? Amen. $317,000 is a lot of money. Some people said to me, Pastor, you know, I don't understand. Can I fix that by going to a handheld? Do I need wisdom here on this one? Is that better? Very good. It's amazing. People keep telling me, Pastor, why do you always push for more money? And it's simple, because we use the money not for benefit. We use the money to bless the community. Amen? People have said, oh, Pastor, he'd get rich by the people. Listen now, it's amazing to realize that this is not about me. This is about literally, and it's proven right there, how many people we're able to touch all over the world because you are a generous people. Can you turn to someone next to you and say, thank you for being so generous? It's the truth. Thank you for being generous. Without you, we couldn't do these things. I'm excited. The Empowering Pastors Conference is coming up right now in the month of March. And guess what? Larry Stockstill. If you don't know Larry Stockstill, you need to look him up online. He is a giant in the faith. He oversees, I believe it's 3 different ministries that are over 20,000 people. That doesn't include all the hundreds, I think it's thousands, right, Cody? Thousands of other pastors that sit under his ministry. He's coming here to Horseheads, New York, to speak to the business people and the pastors. They're going to come from all over the region. And you and I, man, we get the opportunity to sow not just into them, but into all of their congregation. That is awesome. We have churches that are patterning themselves after his tabernacle. Kentucky is part of us. We also know Texas is doing the same thing. And many other pastors, they're using rock solid faith to build their churches. It's exciting to see the impact that you are making. Again, turn to someone and say, you are the generous church. I want to remind you, next Sunday, we are going to all those that filled out this envelope that declared and vowed before the Lord you're going to tithe for 1 year. We're going to be giving out Bishop's book next Sunday during the offering. So you'll all get an email for those that signed up, and you'll get an email. And my wife and I are going to be down here. Bishop sowed almost $4,000 in his books. And so that he wanted to say he believes in you, so into you for blessing the house of God and for obeying the Lord in tithes and offerings. It says, your path to plenty, the keys to superabundance by Bishop Rick Thomas. So all those that fill those out, you'll be getting one of these this next year. And we're excited this next week. And we're going to give them out during the offering time. Are you ready? It's the last sermon for 2017. Well, actually, the last Sunday morning service for 2017. How many plan on coming tonight? We haven't had a New Year's Eve service in many years, and the reason was we used to do it every year. And man, it was grabbing great momentum. And then the teenager said to us, we need the building, Pastor. And I said, well, that means we can't have our meeting. And so we gave the building to the teenagers. They were having, I don't know, how many teenagers did you have here? You had 1,000? 100? 100. He did 3 zeros. So he usually had over 100 kids here on New Year's Eve instead of them being out partying with their friends. And so they gave this up. I don't know why, but they gave it up. So we're taking it back. So this tonight at 7 p.m. is we're going to reveal the theme for 2018 that the Lord has laid on my heart. I want to tell you, 2018 is going to be amazing. You do not want to miss any part of it, because it is, seriously. Everyone that I've shared it with, they're like, oh my goodness, that is awesome. Because it is. It's a God thing this year. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. I want to end this year, not just for us to look back and to see how far we've come, but also to see how we're going to get where we're going. What I have seen in many believers is simply this. Many believers are the same person they were January 1st of 17 that they are today, right now. There's been no change. In fact, sadly enough, some people have changed, but many people have actually retracted. They're not even where they were. They've actually gone backwards. And today, God wants to challenge you. Today, your Father in heaven wants to challenge you to accelerate your prosperity and your blessing to the next level. It is important for us to recognize that God wants you blessed and not cursed. That God has you on this planet to do great and mighty things. He has greatness for you, not survival. Some of you have been okay with survival mode, and it's time to shake it out of you. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, shake out that poverty mentality. Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3 says this, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Shout, do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. You know, sadly enough, I've seen many believers, they're like a little fish. You ever buy one of those fish in those little fish bowls? Tiny little fish. They stay small. Why? Because we actually adapt to our habitat. Amazingly enough, we create our own habitats. Sadly enough, in creating our own habitat, we actually, many people, stunt themselves or do not allow God to do His greatness in our lives because we can only live within that small container that we have created in our own lives. And the Lord this year wants to address us and say, listen, I know 17, some of you went through difficult times in 17, but praise the Lord, you made it. Can I hear an amen? Shout, I made it. Amen. That's right, you're still alive. Shout, praise God. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you got breath, can I hear a shout, amen? Amen. That's right, you made it. Man, some of you, it was a difficult year, a challenging year. Some of you, a heartbreaking year. But one thing I know, if God is for you, who can be against you? You made it through. And listen, you're entering into a new year, a new season. Greatness is before you. Why? Because your God is great. I love what he said to Abram. I'm going to make your name great. God wants to make your name great. Because the greater your name is, the more people will listen to you. Let me say it one more time. The greater your name is, the more people will listen to you. You see, when you are not known, when nobody cares, when nobody even sees you walk by, then when you speak the word of the Lord, nobody hears you. God wants to position you, posture you, place you in a situation to where his name will be magnified and God will get glory. You see, this year, we have to determine to do what God speaks. You're quiet this morning. That's all right. I'll pull it out of you. We have to determine to do what God speaks. This is where you and I make a decision. Because the Lord is very clear here. He makes a declaration. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now listen now. I hate camping. No, I didn't say I don't like camping. I despise camping. I don't believe it's of the Lord. I don't believe it's a God thing at all. As Sherry, I mentioned you in first service. I said, Sherry, if she was here, she said, I love camp. I hate camping. No, I didn't say I didn't like. I hate camping. I remember when Rhonda and I, Cody was about 2 years old. He's about 2 years old. We went camping right up here, local. And we went out and bought a tent and bought a cooker thingamajiggy bob and a lantern. And we had all that stuff. And we bought sleeping bags. And Rhonda's eight to 8.5 months pregnant with Chad. So here we are. We're up there. And it's hot as blazing heaven, hell. I mean, it's bad. And we went out and we found our campsite that they assigned us and we put our tent down and climbed in to go to bed. And guess what was there? A root was there. I laid on that stinking root all night long. Can I tell you something? I hate roots. Just like I hate camping. It didn't matter which way you rolled, you were still going to get ouched by that root. And Rhonda being that pregnant, it was like just a very uncomfortable situation. I remember one time my boys and I, we went camping at the Archery Rendezvous. We went every year since they were 4 years old. And one year we set up our camp right down in this beautiful, it was a big pine tree and it was a grassy area. So we placed our tent in there and we were all set. You know, the boys' sleeping bags are on the ground. And I actually had a cot that time. I was giving God glory. And it started to rain. But it didn't just rain, it deluged. And all of a sudden, we realized that we put our camping spot in the wrong area. It was the sluice for all of the rain. So we looked in inside of our tent, and their bags were about floating, and it was almost to the top of the cot. I want you to know that night, I slept in my 1978 a Bronco, and I was up like this, got no sleep, and the boys, man, they could sleep anywhere. Can I let you know I hate camping? But one of the keys to camping is making sure that your site is prepared. Many of us live life hanging out with roots. But the fact is that God wants you to prepare your site. The preparation of the site also not only dictates how large of a tent and how large of an area that you'll have, but also the comfort that you'll have while you're there and the ability to enjoy what you're doing. God is speaking to the church. He says, enlarge. Come on now. Shout enlarge. Enlarge the place of your tent. The area determines the size. If you and I sit back with our vision and what God wants us to do for 2018, and we stay in our little pup tent, and I believe that many believers stay in their pup tents. What do I mean by a pup tent? Well, they get saved. They set up their little pup tent. They climb into their little Jesus salvation, and they never go beyond that. But God doesn't want you to stay in a pup tent. He wants you to, oh, I feel a fifth wheel coming on. Hallelujah. God wants you to prepare the area, because I don't want to be in a tent. Prepare the area, because how you prepare, how you enlarge your area, determines how large you can become and what God can do in your life. So many of us just sit back and we're okay. What trees, what roots, what rocks? We don't change anything. Listen, if you don't change anything, you'll be the same person. Some of you are the same person you were last year. You've heard somebody say, well, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Listen, don't say that to my face, because I'm probably going to go off on you with the love of the Lord, of course. Well, why? Because you're looking me in the face and telling me that I am going to be the same person next year that I am now. And let me tell you, that's not an option. Every one of us have got to determine in our hearts that God has greater for us than where we are right now. I thank God for the avenue that we have. I thank God for the campsite we have. I thank God for the tent that we have. But God doesn't want to keep us in a pup tent. It's time to move on to a cabin tent. And then it's time to move on to a pop-up tent. And then it's time, glory to God for the pop-up tent. Then it's time to move on to a fifth wheel. Oh, Lord. I've been in some fifth wheels, man. Let me tell you. Jesus, help us all. God doesn't determine this. This is not determined by God. This is not God saying, well, this one gets a pup tent. This one here gets this. No. We got to look at that verse. Pastor Rhonda already read it, already declared it. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able. Shout, he's able.
He's able.
I didn't hear you. I said, shout, he's able. What does able mean? That means he's able to do it. He has the ability to accomplish what he is saying before you. Listen, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. That word think means imagine. According to the power that is in us. The people that stop God from moving is usually us. We get so settled in our life. We get so set in our own little rituals, in our way that we do things, that when God says, listen, it's time to stretch yourself, It's time to get out and build bigger. It's time to do greater things for my kingdom. Remember, only the things that are done for Christ will last. We can do all and accomplish all things. But what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I've watched men exchange their soul for pup tents. And it's time to say, God, I thank you that where I started is I might have a small little territory. But God is saying, I want you to stretch forth. I want you to enlarge. I want you to see bigger. Beyond what you can even think or imagine, I have greatness for you. I want to use you. I want to empower you. I want souls to be saved through you. I want God to heal through you. It's time to recognize that we have got to step up and say, Jesus, I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I want more of you. Survival is not an option. So many of us live in this survival mode, and it's just craziness. We love to use excuses. Well, Pastor, if you knew my life. Pastor, if you knew my year. Oh, Pastor, if you only knew what I've gone through. Oh, Pastor, my heart. Oh, Pastor, my body. Oh, Pastor. And man, listen, the moment you start using excuses, you actually dismiss the ability to go further. You've now given yourself permission to stay on that little plot of land with that little pup tent where you're never going to do what God's actual will for your life is. There are many people who will never fulfill God's will for their life because they're unwilling to step out on nothing to land on something. They always want that comfort zone. Well, listen now, you can't grow if you want comfort zone. Ask any woman who's had a baby. Any woman that's had a baby will tell you very clearly that it is not comfortable. The baby starts touching your back, starts touching your bladder, starts getting into your chest area and pushing your lungs up so you're less breath than you normally are. And then your skin stretches. Glory to God. Cocoa butter, the whole beast. And then there's a time to deliver. And when you deliver, it's not like, oh, just take it out. Then delivery comes. I remember Pastor Rhonda, man, she said, if I hold my breath, just blow in my face. I said, okay. She started holding her breath and I went, don't you ever do that again. And the nurses came running in. I said, I didn't. I. If you're ever going to have greatness, if you're ever going to propel generationally, if you're ever going to be a person that's going to accelerate beyond just you, listen now, what I love about God is this. He told the animals that they would of like kind reproduce, but that's not what he told man. What he told man was multiply and replenish the earth. Animals and plants, they all produce after themselves. But man is supposed to live in the life of multiplication. And many of us have slid into excuses. We've slid into what I call spiritual poverty. We slide into an idealistic mentality in Christianity of welfare. And that is, well, I'm okay now. I fare okay. I guess I can survive. I'm in welfare. But God says, I want to accelerate you. I want to propel you above what you can ask or even imagine. I've got greatness for you. Stop settling. For goodness, it's time to press on. It's time to enlarge your camp. It's time to accelerate where you're at. It's time to believe that God is able, God is willing, and God has it just for you. See, Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 says this, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man and served in his Egyptian master's household. You know what's really interesting about this is that all the folks that use their excuses, you don't have a good enough excuse that comes close to Joseph. Here's Joseph. He gets sold by his brothers. No, I'm not. They were going to kill him at first They were going to murder him, and they talked him out of murdering, and then they sold him. They didn't sell him in country. They sold him out of country. So he gets to the house, Potiphar's house, and guess what? The wife starts lying. Oh, he's trying to sleep with me. Hey, I'm making accusations. They were false accusations. They were lies. So they took him and threw him in jail. Listen, if anybody had an excuse not to fulfill God's will for their life, it was Joseph. But he made a determination that I'm not going to let go of God. He made a determination that I'm going to stand firm in God. He made a determination that I will not be deterred from God. And he started broadening and enlarging even when he was in jail. And God started blessing him. And God gave him favor. And at the end, the favor was so powerful that he actually saved his entire nation called the Israelites. And today, Jesus came out of them without Joseph remaining strong and saying, I refuse to bend. I refuse to bow. I refuse to relinquish. I refuse to stay just steady. Without his willingness to move forward, Jesus couldn't have come. I can't tell you how many people have said to me in this church, well, Pastor, I can't keep coming to your church. I just can't come to their church anymore. And I say, well, why can't you come to the church? All you do is push, 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 push. All you do is you don't let us just enjoy ourselves. You just keep pushing us. Are you in ministry? You keep pushing us. Why aren't you in church? You keep pushing us. Man, you should tithe. You keep pushing us. Why do you keep pushing us? Can't we just sit back and relax a little? Listen now, I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of my God. And that's a good godly fear, but also a good fear. And that is, I do not want to stand before him and not say, I did everything to empower your people to be successful in the principles of heaven, for he holds his word even above his name. You see, it's time to say, Lord Jesus, I know my life. My life is this. Now listen, as a pastor of this church, we have a very successful church in a town of 6,500. If you take per capita and in the size that we are, we run about 700 to 750 people every Sunday morning in-house. Then we have another 200 to 300 people online. And then we bus in another 200 to 250 people, different people, during the week. And then we minister on TV between 55 and 6,000 people. You know what? It's very easy and would be very easy to say, okay, we've enlarged ourselves. Now we're this big. Now we can just settle, set back, and be at ease. But you see, there's something that's got to happen in your spirit. And that is this. I'm unwilling to settle. I'm unwilling to sit. I'm unwilling to just say, I guess that's what I'm going to get, and that's all. God said, I will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or simply imagine. And it comes from you and I and the power of God that's within us. You see, I don't know about you. I thank God for this building, but this is the youth building. I thank God for this building, but it's the Christian school. I thank God for this building, but it's not for the congregation. I thank God that we're going to have a sanctuary that's going to seat 1,999. I thank God it's going to be really pretty. And I thank God, because we skimped in here, I thank God that it's going to be really pretty and the community is going to know that God is powerful, that God is good, that his tabernacle, the God's people are growing, maturing, increasing. You see, I can't settle if someone is not saved. We got to stop allowing our excuses to steal the place of our tent. Stretch, lengthen, strengthen, and expand. Every one of those words is uncomfortable. Shout, I love change.
I love change.
Now y'all going to hell. Nobody likes change. We like the familiar. In fact, what's amazing is the people that never are moving forward always end up reaching backwards. Let me say it one more time. The people that are willing to stay in their pup tent We'll stay there for a period of time, and then we'll start reaching backwards to the past stability they've had in their life that they liked and that they loved. The Bible says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. There's a time to say, God, I thank you from where I came from, but I forget those things which are behind, and I press on towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. You see, there's a high calling in your life. There's a purpose for your life. There's a destiny for your life, and it's not in the pup tent. If you're unwilling to move forward, then you will probably go back to the world. And that's why some of you, when you evaluate your life from January 1, 2017 to December 31, 2017, you're the same person or worse. You're not moving forward. You're moving backwards. You're not in ministry anymore. You don't give anymore. You're in church every once in a while now. What's happened is you are not moving forward. You're in your pup tent, and now you're reaching back for Oreo cookies. Y'all know Oreo cookies will kill you, right? Double stuff. Grasshoppers. They're going to kill you. You keep staying in your little pup tent, eating Oreo cookies. Jesus, help us all. You got to make decisions. This is the challenge of this verse, is it's saying that we are the ones that actually determine how big God is going to fill us. You know what I love about the Lord? Every time his tabernacle is built, God's filled it. I remember when we first got to this building, it was 190 feet up the hallway. That's a long ways. I remember walking the hallway and going, man, that's a long ways. I remember standing here in the sanctuary looking back and it's like, wow, that's a real long ways back. I remember saying, wow, you know, I'm believing the Lord to fill this. And you know what? God by power. I remember when we started off even with Matthew 25 and the Raw ministry on a Tuesday night. There were hardly any kids here. Now God's filled the building. There's not even any rooms. We had to actually outsource where the men's ministry goes. Why is that? Because whenever you build, whenever you prepare the ground, whenever you enlarge your ground, then whenever you put up a bigger tent, God is going to fill it because he has greater vision for you than you have for yourself. But you got to start believing that God is good and not bad, and that if you put out the vision, God will fulfill it. Why? Because God wants you blessed and not cursed. God wants you prosperous and not in poverty. God wants you shouting and laughing with the joy of the Lord, not with depression and with discouragement. This is the passion of heaven. You've got to be willing to increase. And not everybody wants to do that. This is your decision. To him who is able to do abundantly above all that we could even ask or think, by the power that works in you. You know, the children of Israel were amazing people. It actually should have only taken them 13 days to go from Egypt, which represented the world, to the promised land that God had given them. 13 days. But what happened was they started complaining. They started saying, well, you know what? I'd rather be back in Egypt eating the cabbage. They wanted more security, but the Bible says, I walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says that if I step out on nothing, I'm going to land on something. The Bible says if you have vision, God will enlarge your vision even bigger than you can even imagine, and he'll give you more than you could even expect. But if you never enlarge, if you never believe, you will never receive. You got to have what's called a dissatisfied satisfaction. What is a dissatisfied satisfaction? It's where, thank you, God, for where you have me, but I'm dissatisfied. I want to go further. Lord, I want to see greater. Lord, I want my life to be used in a greater measure. I want more souls. Listen, I thank God 1,016 people gave their hearts to the Lord last year through his Tabernacle Family Church. But that's just a problem because now that sets a benchmark, and now we got to break it. Can I hear an amen? I thank God for 700 to 750 people every single Sunday inside the building. But that's just a benchmark. I believe that God can fill this house with 5,000 people. I believe that God can fill it with 2,000 teenagers. I believe that God can overwhelm Elmira through the power of Raw and that ministry, Matthew chapter 25, so much that we literally change the entire city. We're not here to survive. We're here to change this entire region by the power and the name of the risen master, Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you. I don't know what you believe. But this one thing I know. If God can save the entire city called Samaria, what can God do in our region if we'll just believe? Come on now, shout amen. Amen. Somebody once said to me, well, I'd believe, but I just don't want to be disappointed. Let me tell you something. You've just buried yourself. Well, I want greater things, but I don't want to do anything different. If you don't do anything different, you'll get the same exact results. All those words means work. Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have time to go to church. Guess what, man? You and I should be excited that we're not part of the New Testament church because they went to church every single night. No. Every single night they were in church. And the American church has slid to a one every 3 weeks. What's happened is this. Is the enemy's been at work to disembowel the greatest power that has ever been on this planet called the church, the body of the living Christ. The ones with the true answer, the gospel of God, which is the power of God unto salvation. Where there's healing in their hands, every devil in hell is subject to us in Jesus' name. And we have the ability to take back what the devil has stolen. We have the ability to stand, and even in the midst of trial and tribulation, we can stand therefore, look the devil in the face, let the winds and the waves know, I rebuke you in the name of Christ, and I declare peace. Peace to my situation. You are not weak, but you are strong. Come on now. I'm preaching myself happy. I don't know about you, but it's time to be people that are willing to enlarge themselves. Well, Pastor, I'm just happy. You know, praise the Lord. I'm making it, and that's all I'm believing for. Can't tell you how many people have said that to me. Takes everything from rising up inside and rebuking you right in your face. Why? There's nobody more selfish than a person that is in survival mode. Why is that? Because they can only take care of themselves. There's nobody more selfish than somebody that says, well, I'm praying that God will bless me with just enough to pay my bills. If you're only getting what your bills need, then how are you going to help anybody else? We're not here to survive. We're here to thrive. We're not here just to make it. We're here to accelerate. Listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? Man, the people, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, the people feared them. Why? Because they knew God was on their side. I got a question for you. Are you thriving? Have you enlarged your ground so much that the people around you are saying God is on their side? Or are they saying, you go to church? We are the church, the body of the living God. We need to stand there for it. I want you to recognize that at His Tabernacle Family Church, we are never going to stop pushing. We are never going to stop thriving. We are never going to stop driving. We are never going to relinquish. We are never going to stay in a pup tent. We're never going to stay in a cabin tent. We're never going to stay in the pop-up camper. We're never going to stay in that nice 30-foot camper. But we're going to the big RV, glory to God. And we're going to get all we can get from God. Because why? Because people need the Lord. And if the church isn't being blessed, if the kingdom isn't being blessed, then why would the world want any part of us? You see, you are the body. The thing is that I can preach all I want. And I, you know, people make accusations. You know what's really funny? My wife and I, we evaluated all the accusations against my wife and I. It's really funny. When you start really looking at all the things they say bad about my wife and I, every one of them deal with prosperity. Well, you have a big house. They tell us what you have, a $1 million house on the lake. Well, you can prophesy all you want in the name of Jesus. I'm accepting it. Pastor, you got a Lamborghini. Pastor's got his own jet. They can prophesy all they want. But what's amazing is that the world knows what blessing is. And the church shuns blessing because we're ashamed to say that our God, the owner, Adonai, has everything in heaven and wants to bless his children. We're ashamed if God blesses us. It's time to enlarge your camp. Some of you need new jobs. Some of you need new companies. Your company needs to double this year in the name of Jesus. I declare by the power of Jesus' name, I declare that companies double this year in Jesus' name. I declare such favor that all of a sudden people are going to shake their head and say, man, God must be on their side. That don't make sense. I declare your family to be saved in Jesus' name. I declare right now you're going to get raises. You're going to have blessing beyond your understanding. Why? Because I refuse to remain in my pup tent. But baby, if you're only going to stay in your pup tent, then don't complain. Don't complain. It's time to thrive. And we're the church. Well, you know, you got God because you need a crutch. Oh, no, you need the crutch, baby, because you don't got him. I got the chariot. Glory to God. You know, I got horses of fire. I've got the heavens opened up to me. I've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that's watching over me. He sends his angels. I thank the Lord that there's nothing I can't do, that there's nothing impossible. I thank God that all things are available to sons and daughters of the kingdom of God, and that you and I, the sons and daughters, we can stand firm and say, it don't matter what people say. It matters where we're going. But are you in your pup tent? You know, you can be extremely wealthy on this planet, extremely successful on this planet, still be living in a pup tent. You got to make a choice. You know, I understand that not everybody likes me, and I'm okay with that. But usually when they don't like me because I'm a pusher. And maybe I'm a Jesus pusher. Because you got to grow up. It's time for you and I to take back this region. It's time for you to take back our families. It's time for you to stand firm in the midst of the fire and come out without smelling like smoke. It's time for you to get back to ministry. It's time for you to put your hands to the plow. It's time for you to kick the devil in the teeth and stand up and let the devil know you can roar, but you're toothless. I am a son of God, and I got the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. I'm clad with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. I've got the helmet of salvation. I'm not weak, but I am strong. You see, we are the believers, the sons and daughters of the King. We are not weak. And this is a decision we have to make. It's not God's decision. I'm going to carry it around. I'm going to get drink. Some of you have been in your pump tent for 5 years, 10 years.
Well, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord 623 years ago. It was a glorious experience.
But you haven't grown an inch. You're still in your pup tent. Come on, unzip that pup tent. Get your little knife out and start cutting it up. Destroy what's behind you so you can move forward because you have no place to go back to. Come on now. Start getting your life ready. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, I'm going to spend a little bit more time in prayer with you this year. I thank you, God, that I'm going to sow this year even more than I'd sowed last year. You see, we were talking with Pastor Obi and Tara last night, and we were out to supper with them. And I love what they say because it's the same thing my wife and I say. What we gave last year, we can't give. We've got to give more. My wife and I, we have a desire to always give more than we gave the year before. Why? Because we've seen God bless us time and time again. Salary hasn't changed in years, but it doesn't matter about salary. It matters about where we're going. Pastor Obi and Tara said, we gave more last year than we gave this year. Cody said the same thing. Chad said the same thing. It's a drive in our spirit. Why? Because going back is not an option. It might cost you more, but here's the fact. God, you can't outgive him. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking your life. I'm talking your family. family. I'm talking wherever you are at work. I'm saying it's time to expand your vision. It's time to lengthen your cords. It's time to pull out the old stakes and start pounding in new stakes and declaring what God has given me here is great. I thank you, Jesus. But it's time to move on toward the vision of the high call. I've got greatness inside of me. I refuse to remain right here in my pup tent. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Not everybody's willing to pay the price. I challenge you to pay the price. My wife and I paid a price. We paid a price from the beginning of ministry to where we are today. It didn't come free. Everybody wants to participate when you're successful, but no one wants to be there when it's the struggle. But the fact is that nobody gets successful without tearing out the old stakes, which is work. Without strengthening the cords, which is work. Without clearing the ground, which is work. You cannot be successful without work. But I want you to know that even though when we first started out, man, it was rough. It was a challenge. It was financially. Listen, I gave up the road money. I gave up everything that I was making on the road. We went completely by Rhonda working at Liberty Travel. Let me tell you something. When you go from my salary on the road, which was more than I make right now here at his tabernacle, one thing you find is you got a hole. But when you are faithful to God and you're doing his will and you're expanding the vision, God always makes a way. We look back, this is our 20th year of ministry at His Tabernacle Family Church. We started with 5. And like I said, God, I think Pastor Dan says there's like 1,300 people that come here every single month that are cycling through. We have that 3-week rotation. And I want you to know that that's successful, but that doesn't come close to where we're going. I know what God has for us, and I won't be satisfied till we crest it. And I want you to recognize, in your life, you can't be satisfied. You can't be satisfied right where you are right now. Where are you? Are you the same person January 1? Are you the same person in your faith? Are you you're the same person in your service? Are you serving God more than you were on January 1? Are you giving more on December 31st than you were on January 1? Are you more faithful on December 31st than you were on January 1? That's not for anybody else to answer. That's us. And as a husband and a wife, you need to recognize that as a couple, we go somewhere, but individually is what drives it. I can't expect us to enlarge our camp as a couple and as a family if I'm not willing to do it as an individual. Some of you are holding your spouses back. Some of you are holding your children back because you're staying in your pup tent and your kids want to accelerate into a cabin tent. Your wife or your husband wants to accelerate into a new level of ministry, a new level of life, but you won't let it happen because you're unwilling to pay the price for the kingdom of God. Listen, at the end of life, at the end of your last breath, you got nothing more than what you did for Jesus on this planet. Nothing more. And the question is simply this: where are you right now? You in your pup tent? You in your cabin tent? You in your pop-up camper? And nobody can answer that but you. Nobody can answer that but me. To get where I need to go this year is going to cost me more than I paid last year. One more time. To get where we need to go this year individually as a pastor, as a couple, and as a church, it's going to cost me more. More time, more energy, more money, more life. But there's one thing that I have proven over the years. You can never outgive God. And whatever you put in, He will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or even imagine. Why? Because God, He's the owner, and He has it all. And you're His baby, and He wants to bless His children. Amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. I enjoyed preaching that message. I really want you to know that I could go on for another hour. Giving you grace so you come back tonight. Tonight we're going to lay hands on every single person. If you've never had that happen, you need to recognize what happens when that occurs. There's a transference of anointing, a transference of the power of God that brings order to your life for the new year. You want hands laid on you. We're going to anoint you and lay hands on you. Every person that comes. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your life is out of order. And the anointing through the preaching of the word and the level of faith that you need to be saved is working in your heart right now. Which means this, as I share with you that you need Christ, you're feeling God start to stir your heart. You may be getting a little nervous. You need to get saved. You need to give your heart to Christ. And if you do that, man, let me tell you, if you want to save your life, lose your life. Give it to Jesus. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, could I have quiet in the sanctuary, please? Thank you. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is your day. You see, until you ask Him into your life, you're lost. You don't even have a tent. Today is the day that you make your life right with the Lord. And today, if you want Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you. You'll never regret it. Christ will change you from the inside out. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition. Man, you look where you were January 1, and you look today, and man, you're not even serving the Lord anymore. You're not spending any time with Him. You're not serving His kingdom. You're doing nothing for God. You're backslidden. You know if you take your last breath, you're not going to heaven. You can play all the religious games you want, but you know in your heart you're not right with God. Today's your day. Well, I don't want to be embarrassed. Who gives a stinking flying rip what people say about you? Until you figure that out in your heart, you're going to be owned by man. Today, if you're not right with Jesus and you want to get right with God, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up right now. We want to pray with you this morning. Is there anyone that's going to raise their hand? I'm not going to wait real long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Today, as your pastor, I want you to know that we believe in you, that what God has for you is amazing. Don't settle. Listen, if you feel me pushing you, just know it's out of complete love. Because, man, I can see where God wants to take you. Don't be settled where you're at. Father, I just speak blessing over this church in the name of Jesus. I declare in Jesus' name that 2018 will be so blessed that, Father, 2017 will look like child's play. I thank you, God, that you're going to manifest heaven on this earth. And I command order to come right now in people's lives. I command right now people to come into order. I command bodies to come into order. I command minds to come into order. I command addictions to come into order. I command right now life to come into order in the name of Jesus. God, I declare by your name, the name that's above every single name, such blessing to the obedient, such blessing to the visionary, such blessing that every time they clear a new piece of ground, that Lord, you will bless them abundantly above all they could even ask or even think. God, you're so powerful. You're coming so soon. Please, Jesus, use us like we've never been used before. Lord, use us to save so many people that, Lord, our minds will just shake at the mesmerization of how powerful you have used our hearts. Lord, I declare that no weapon formed against one person in this room shall prosper. Lord, I declare even if some are living in Joseph's situation, that they will find great favor because their eyes will not come off of Jesus. Lord, we speak blessing over this house. Increase in every area. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Have an awesome day. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you tell somebody about tonight. Bring them tonight to the house of God. They'll so enjoy themselves.